This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you once again this morning. We thank you, Father, for the deepest place you are bringing us into. We thank you, Father, for your great love towards us. Thank you, Father, for the water of life that will overwhelm every one of us. Thank you, Father, from measure to measure that you are bringing to every. Father, we thank you once again this morning. Thank you for the love of God I shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for communion and fellowship with the Spirit. Father, we thank you once again. This morning, once again, we come before you. We ask that we receive help from you in the name of Jesus. Father, once again, we ask that you show us the way in the name of Jesus. Because your light will shine so much that we know how to walk and where to go in the name of Jesus. Father, I receive help this morning once again. Receive breath from you. Receive inspiration from you. I find entrance into your mind. Father, I find help over your set man, Pastor Thompson and Pastor Tupai. I find help from them in the name of Jesus. That will find grace to labor in alignment with your mandate in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask that you come to everyone, particularly in the name of Jesus. Everyone will receive allocation for their season in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Welcome to church again. This morning, once again, we'll continue with our lesson that we've been taking. If you have enjoyed the discipleship series we've been taking, can you put your hands together for Jesus? Amen. This lesson 5, our theme has been discipleship, God's process of depth, growth, and fruitfulness. Can we say that together? Say discipleship. Say God's process of depth, of growth, and fruitfulness. And we're in lesson what? Say lesson 5. And today we'll be looking at the topic, say intricacies and dynamics of being a disciple. Can we read our text? Matthew 16:24. And after that, John 8:31-32. Then followed by Matthew 28:19-21. And lastly, John 15:8. We just take them in that order. Hallelujah. So we're going to read these scriptures together, and I want you to read with me. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Say, deny yourself.
Deny yourself.
Come after me. Say, take up your cross. Say, I'm following him. Amen. Can we read the next scripture, please? John 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Say, continue my word. Say, continue my word. Say, you shall know the truth, and you shall be free. Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Say, go ye.
Go ye.
That's a program, right? The last scripture, John. Are you ready? Hallelujah. How is the Father glorified? that I'm bearing what? Much fruit. And now what? I am his disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, we'll be looking at the system of the kingdom and the structure of the New Testament church. We started this discipleship series by saying that the wineskin that God basically had put together to ensure that you and I, first and foremost, retain what he's teaching us, become what he's teaching us, and also able to also replicate or duplicate or bring to others the things that we have become and the things that we have been taught. Hallelujah. And we call it a wineskin. That discipleship, you know, is a wineskin by which God actually, you know, arrive or achieve his purpose. We say basically that you just being a convert and a congregant, though, actually not makes you a disciple. Amen. And we will emphasize that discipleship as a course is intentional, you know, and we also emphasize basically that you've got no choice. Hallelujah. If truly, truly you want to arrive, truly you want to be a son of God, truly you want to change, truly you want to be free indeed, actually you don't have a choice. Say, I don't have a choice. It's not that God is arrogant. Amen. No. It's just that God knows that that's the way that will work. Things of God, your opinion does not count. You know that. If God makes your opinion to count, then he will be doing it again. You know why? God has already given you a will already. And by your will, you have opinion. You have opinion. You can exercise your will. You can turn it wherever you will, and it won't go against it. So God already given you a platform, a medium of opinion. So it will be so bad again for him to now come back and say, okay, you also have a choice. You know, your choice is actually to see whether truly, truly you want to follow him. Why God gave you a will, unlike the angels who basically have said so, is because God wants to know whether you can actually go on for the gold, whether you are seeing the treasure. So when you are seeing the treasure, then your will always align with his. So God basically, in his arrangement, in his wisdom, doesn't need your opinion. So this morning, we want to show believers, you know, the responsibility of a true disciple and what being a disciple entails. Disciples have responsibility. So that means that there are things basically that I must be doing, I must be carrying out if I say I'm a disciple. So discipleship is a God-ordained system for advancing his kingdom. Majorly, advancing the kingdom is harvest. Kingdoms don't advance if you don't have culture, integration, and population. The first foundation or the first breakthrough for any kingdom is culture. Kingdom is not the territory. Kingdom is not the people. The first ingredient of a kingdom is what? Is the culture. So if you see any man who has civilized the world, he has a culture. He has an ideology. He has an intent. He's seen how the world should be arranged. He's seen how people should live. First and foremost, the kingdom or that kingdom was first inside of him. Then he find one or two other people that he shares the ideology with and they believe it. Then they begin to find a way to what? To push that ideology, push that thought, push that culture until everybody come under it. And as many people they're able to bring under it, they ensure basically what? They fall in line with their culture. Why are you speaking English? The Europeans should have left you speaking your language. But they ensure that the only way they can have a hold on you is that they bring their culture. So language has a medium of reinforcing culture. So when you talk about advancing kingdom, you know, you are talking basically that what God wants to do, the change, the acculturation, or the altering of you yourself, and the increase in the number of people that are in that culture is achieved. So we must advance God's kingdom. If I'm saying I'm advancing God's kingdom, it means basically that I'm subjecting myself to a discipleship process that is changing my person. So the first advance of God's kingdom is you. Say me. So kingdom is advancing when I'm changing. Because the real advance of the number you want to see cannot come except you, first and foremost, taking. So kingdom is advancing when I am also becoming a disciple. And the foundational structure of a New Testament church, which is discipleship, is what we are looking at. So the foundation, you know, and the advancement are all tied up in what? In discipleship. Jesus did not simply call converts. We all know that scripture, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. You know, the early church was built on an intentional teaching, training, and spiritual formation. Let's look at Acts 2, 42.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So the system by which God, you know, and the structure of the New Testament to ensure that we arrive and to ensure that we invade the earth is discipleship. You know, so we first go through it, then others also will go through it through us. So the scriptures we read earlier on, those texts we read as our main text, you know, you see things like follow, you see things like free, you see things like outreach, you see things like bearing fruit. That's the summary of all those scriptures we read. So follow, you know, freedom, you know, reaching out to other people and being fruitful. So the intricacies and dynamics, we'll be looking at the intricacies and the dynamics now. Okay, first and foremost, say establish faith and sound doctrine. You know, a disciple, we said earlier on, is someone basically who's following a master. Am I right? A disciple is somebody who basically has committed himself to a project, a program, a learning. We cited some way back, we said that an apprentice is a disciple because basically he attached himself to a master and he's been taught a trade. And at the end of that trade, he's meant to turn out to be somebody that who can actually replicate who his master is. And within that estate of being a mechanic or being an apprentice, learning under somebody, you know, whatever trade you are learning, there are rules, there are regulations, there are things basically that is going to help your journey. So we see that the early believers were grounded in apostolic teaching. See, apostolic teaching. And faith was intentional, structured, and guarded. Disciples were raised with clear doctrinal foundation. You know, what differentiates a disciple from just a congregant or a believer is that he actually has what? Foundational doctrine that is being taught. And doctrines are truth. Say truth. So it's not just floating. You know, doctrines are flags that actually guide your life. In other words, see doctrines as all those signboards you see on the street of Lagos that show you Allen or Kwebi, okay? You know, it leads you on a definite path. It keeps you on a definite route. And if you are going to veer off any route, you also are going to have sign. That's why when you leave the major road, you see streets. Am I right? Those streets also have names, don't they? And they lead you. Am I right? When you follow that street again, if you are going to a definite house, houses have what? Numbers again. Am I right? And then you can say, I've arrived at destination where I'm going to. So it's different from somebody who just woke up, who is a believer, and he doesn't know where he's going to. Imagine you wake up in the morning and you're just wondering. You don't know where you're going. You're just going and going and going and going. You know? But if you are a disciple, you have a definite direction of where you're heading to. And you know the route. You know the way. Even if you don't know, you can ask questions. No, that's the simplest way I can bring doctrine to. That basically, it brings you to your destination. Jude 1:3. He said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. 1 Corinthians 15:3-1-4. Basically, doctrine comes in different hierarchies and segments. Take, for example, I was looking at a scripture. Paul was reasoning with a man called Sargos Polo, I think. And what was he reasoning about? He was reasoning about judgment. The meek word, Paul just took a portion of it and was reasoning with a mighty man. And the Bible said, actually, that man's leg was shaking. And he had to say, Paul, they have to take him out of his presence for him to regain his balance. Acts 24, verse 22. And here I set myself to have always a conscious voice of offense towards God and towards men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offering, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Next verse. Who ought to have been here before thee and object, if they had aught against me, let this same ear say, if they have found any evil in me, while I stood before the council. Except before this one voice that I cry, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question, you know, by you this day. Next verse. And as he reasoned righteousness, say righteousness, say temperance, say judgment, you know, to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. For when I have convenience season, I will call for thee. Now, what took away his convenience? What took away his convenience? Now, a man was teaching, was arguing a portion of a doctrine. And was said, look, oh boy, I know you're a king. I know you have authority. I know you have a kingdom here. I know you are reigning. But he just reasoned with him righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. A king. You know what? You know, a governor. You know who a governor is? He said his feet was trembling. His feet was trembling. So doctrine are powerful. I was just imagining what made this man's feet to be trembling. He didn't say preach, oh. He said reason. Felix, talk. Make I talk. They were just engaging idea, you know, engaging thought, you know, and a king is as good as a king. His feet was trembling. So that means basically that when I'm grounded in doctrine, just meek word teaching alone, men can tremble. Resurrection, eternal judgment. Those things you call milk can make a man tremble. They are not teaching this guy Christ. They are not teaching him everlasting life. Oh boy, we just want to say that there's resurrection. And we are telling you that what? There's eternal judgment. You account for everything that you do on earth, whether you are born again or not born again. And at the end of the day, everyone will rise up and stand before a God. And a governor was trembling to tell you how powerful doctrine is and how they can invade your own soul and invade other people's soul. He said, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And I said, not laying again foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God. So that means that you can actually reason with someone faith towards God. And the person can tremble. Of doctrine of baptism, you can reason baptism and a soul should tremble. Of laying of hands, of resurrection of the dead. That's what Paul was reasoning with Felix. Resurrection of the dead and what? Eternal judgment. Basically, you must be able to contend for your faith. So Paul was contending for his faith here. And he was reasoning. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't doing a crusade. What was he doing? He was just saying, look, this is what I believe in. This is what makes me up. This is what I'm contending for. And a man who is learned. Felix was not just an unlearned man. You can't be a governor without having brain. This guy, they must have sat under different kind of schools. Okay, let me shock you. You know, in the early days, schools were not available for the poor people. It's for people that want to rule. It's people that want to rule that they send to school. So he must have gone to a school. Then Paul reasoned with him. His feet was shaking. So you must be established in faith and doctrine. Know that the early believer ensured that men were grounded in doctrine. And our discipleship wineskin must ensure that you are grounded in what? In doctrine. You know, the doctrine of the meek of the word alone, you must be grounded in it. It's not just saying basically that you need our water. We have so much knowledge here. We know so much. And there's nothing wrong with it. We had a season whereby God was building syllabus for us because there are signposts for us to journey. But you must be able to sit down and say, okay, concerning meek of the word, you must be able to have used it. And when you're engaging people, it must be standing out of you. Paul was not teaching resurrection and eternal judgment just as knowledge. When the guy was hearing, he was feeling spirit. Just resurrection, that one day we die, we'll rise up, oh. I was wondering what Paul was teaching in that resurrection. He wasn't asking him that, come and do everlasting work. You know, come from the holy place and come into the holy of holies. Oh, but where you dey go, go? Everybody is there. Everybody will come under resurrection. Everybody will come under eternal judgment. That alone, if I engage you with it, you cannot survive. That's what doctrine did to a man. So he was not embodying it. If he has not been taught, he cannot come to that interface that when he's talking about, he can influence a man. So imagine Paul in front of a casual man. Imagine Paul in front of a market movie. They're all gone. So you must understand resurrection. So repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptism, of laying of our hands, just laying of hand. You can teach the laying of hand and people will tremble. Laying of hand, what? You give people Holy Ghost. You do miracles. People are what? Maybe ushered into ministry. You know, just impartation. That our own faith, oh, we have the power, we have the capacity to impart you. I said, come here, I will baptize with Holy Ghost now. Before, when I was in school. There's this guy that normally comes to fellowship, come and disturb fellowship. He just come. When they are teaching, he said, it is a lie. It's just a nuisance. So there was a day this man of God came around and he started. The man of God was just looking at him. We'll look at him. The man of God just moved close to him. You understand? I said, receive the Holy Ghost. He spoke in tongues throughout the meeting. So laying of hands. If you just have laying of hand message alone, you're a star. So our discipleship wineskin or community must ensure that you are grounded in this. You are not just carrying in your head. When they say, oh, we are going for evangelism, or you are reaching out to a soul, it's not hard for you to baptize somebody with Holy Ghost if you give your life to Christ. You know how to call me. You tell him, kneel down. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You know, you have blessed me with the Spirit. And out of that you're giving me, I give you this day. Receive the Holy Ghost. It should come alive. You know that's a miracle. You're listening. You know that's a miracle. You know that's a miracle. That you, Holy Ghost, came into the heart of somebody by you praying for him. It's a miracle. It's even greater than the miracle of somebody seeing. The third person in the Trinity. And you move into a soul. You now say that you don't have power. In me alone, there's power. This community, this disciple community must be able to deliver to you this meek level. You must be confident and bold to do them. Because you must, yeah, do you have Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
You have Holy Ghost.
Yes,
so what's the problem now? There's no problem. Once you have what you have, you can give.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys to say now? You cannot give what you don't. And now you have the Holy Ghost, you are shying away from giving to another person.
Yeah.
Is there not a problem? Say ability to communicate your faith. Every believer was expected to grow to the point of explaining and defending their faith. Paul instructed Timothy to commit what he has learned to faithful men who will teach others also. Psalm 119, verse 46, Acts 26:6. You know, we said earlier on, God wants to harvest you, and God wants you to harvest others. And when God is harvesting you, he wants to harvest people that are in the church or in the body of Christ who have not come to the level of understanding and light that you are in. He also wants to use you to harvest unbelievers entirely. Now, I will speak of thy testimony also before kings. He said, I will not be ashamed. When you are ashamed about sharing your faith, it's because you have not seen the hope. Have you ever seen an American citizen that is ashamed of his citizenship? Or an European or a British? Have you ever seen any of them say, you know, when they get to the airport, the way they flash, he said, even if Nigerians that have those passports, you see the way they do it. They have Nigerian passport, or they will keep it. You don't know? They have Nigerian passport. They will put it inside their pocket. They will bring out the blue one. They say, oh boy, we're there here. More they go, Jari. So you can't be ashamed in actually what? Speaking about your faith. That's a responsibility. In other words, it should be part of you. Because Paul is a skillful guy. But when Paul perceived, Acts 23:6, that one part was Sadducee, the other part was Pharisee. He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the what? Hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called into question. Because you can't communicate your faith if actually you don't have the hope. Discipleship, you know, wineskin should communicate to you what the hope really is. You know, what differentiates you from a congregant and, you know, just a believer is that you have hope. And the hope you have is not the hope of making heaven. The hope you have is not the hope of what? Making heaven. So Paul said, look, oh, there's a hope. And now I stand and I'm judged. For the hope of the promise made of God unto our Father, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope say, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jew. And he went further, you know, if you go for Acts 24:15, is there. He was saying when he got to Rome, when Paul got to Rome, and he called the Jew, he still talk about the hope. So these men were able to talk about their faith, even in contradiction. How much more you and I, when in comfort, in soft life, you are not able to communicate your hope. Consistent personal devotion. Disciples maintain rhythm of prayers and consecration. You know, personal devotion was not optional, but essential, you know, in their daily living. What was personal devotion? You know, aside from the activities of the church, apart from our meetings and our programs, you must have time with the Lord. You must spend quality time with the Lord. I mentioned the other time, Peter, they were making food ready. A man was ready. He was having fellowship with the Lord. So personal devotion is not negotiable. Let me shock you. If you don't have a personal walk with the Lord, actually, God can speak to you. God can be speaking to you from everywhere. But the kind of faith that comes, the one that God speaks to you directly, is different. They can give you a word. Thus said the Lord, this year, you go to Germany. You go to London. You born 7 children. This year, God will multiply your business that you earn in the what? In USD. Hallelujah. No problem. But in the midst of that speaking, if God does not come to speak to you personally, that thing will never see light. So consistent personal devotion is a must. It's not optional. Morning Bible reading, good. You must have personal devotion.
Personal devotion.
Say study the scripture and spiritual materials. And this we are seeing basically in our court, in our community, right? In our cell community, right? You know, we are reading scriptures, right? And we are reading spiritual book, right? Now, those are, they are garnered or they are geared towards you basically being put together. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul instructed believers to give attention to reading and to doctrine. Spiritual growth requires intentional learning. So when you read the word of God, you find new things. Am I right? It improves on your faith, right? It has to what you know. You know, you have a database of what you can draw for in the days of trouble. You know, when you read spiritual book, people have gone through so many things in life. You know, they've read the scripture over and over. They have walked with God. So from them also, you can also tap a resource, you know, that can help your journey. Say study, scripture, and spiritual material. Say fellowship with other believers. Say no lone ranger is a disciple. You can't say I'm a disciple and you're a lone ranger. So disciples thrive in community. That's why you are put in a community. You know, the early church gathered continually in Hebrews 10:25, and they shared life together. Acts 2:44-46. Faith was not live in isolation. Tell your neighbor that. So a disciple does not live in isolation. You know, he lives and has fellowship with other believers. You know why? The only way God can achieve his change in you is that you must rob somebody. Somebody must rob you. By rob, I'm not saying stealing from you. You must dwell close to another believer. You must have fellowship with other believers. What is fellowship? The hope of your calling must be the basis of discourse in engagement when you are fellowshipping. Say culture of honor and wholesome speech. Say respect. Say esteem. Say reference. Say regard. Say admiration. They are part of wholesome speech. So your speech cannot be terrible. Believers were instructed to honor one another. Say honor one another. That's Romans 12:10. And let no corrupt communication proceed where? From their mouth at every time. So what's corrupt communication? Respect and healthy relationship with kingdom culture. So how do you judge whether a word is healthy or not healthy? You know, whether it's corrupt or it's not corrupt. Ask yourself, does it build up? Does it communicate grace to the hearer? They are not far. Does it build this person up? Does it communicate grace to him? If you falter on those two rules, forget about it. Use another word. Communicate in a different way. Service in the household of God. Service demonstrated belongings, you know, and responsibility. Each believer supplies something to the body. Faithfulness in service reflected stewardship before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Can you read for me? Thank you. Can we also read 1 Corinthians 12:7? So the spirit have manifestation. You know, and we must be steward of this manifestation. You know, service demonstrate belonging and responsibility. So in the community, you know, in your cell community, you know, in your discipleship groups, it is expected basically that you are responsible. Because later you understand why this is very, very important. Because God has a mandate for you. There's no child of God or God does not have a mandate for. In other words, there's nobody that does not have a calling. And by calling, I'm not saying that you must carry a microphone. But within that discipleship community, God will begin to make use of the gifts he has deposited in you. You know, and you must be a good steward of it. What's a steward? A steward is who you have committed a resource into his hand. He's able to trade with it and make profit with it. That's a steward. And when you're making profit with what God has committed into your hand, it means basically that people that are benefiting from it are growing. Is influencing their life. You know, in your community or in your sales meeting or in your disciples meeting, you are basically what? Bringing your own quota. Say my own quota. You know, and the steward part of it, basically, you're not laid back. You're not saying, it's not a must I talk. As simple as God gives you a revelation, a vision, a word, you bringing it forth, you know, that's stewardship. God just lays something in your heart. You understand? Bring it forth, that's stewardship. Say discovery of purpose. Believers were created for good works, prepared beforehand, Ephesians 2:10. Discipleship helped uncover and develop divine purpose. I read Matthew 5:16. Say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, divine purpose basically is that, I'm not talking about the gifts the Holy Ghost gave you. Discipleship community is expected that your good work must increase. What is good work? you must be able to do good. In other words, your journey unto divinity must be growing. And you must do good work. You know what I've learned? The way you eat is by doing. Natural food, you grow. Tree take water from the soil and minerals, they grow. And I also realize that everything on earth has capacity to grow. Most. But the things set in the heavens don't grow. That's the truth. From the star to the moon, let the science be telling you that one sun is burning out. That's their problem. In the heavens, go and check it, they don't grow. The sun is not bigger than it was before. Neither is the star bigger than it was before. The moon is not changing its shape. And when you move into the real world of the angels, they also said them so. But on earth, they grow. And why? Because they've given provision for them to eat. And God asked me that, okay, what was the commandment they gave to Adam? Commandment of eating. His food matter. And when they were testing Jesus also, what Adam failed was what Jesus passed. And he says to him, man shall not live by bread alone. The same commandment. It's not different. They started with Jesus where they started with Adam. So Adam actually had two more temptations to go through. The first one is gone. But what God said is that that commandment is not about the fruit. You know, this issue is not the fruit. The issue basically is what? Doing commandments. So when he said, I am feeding, I am eating, what he said, what? I am obeying God. So you must be able to do divine purpose discovery and doing good works. Good works must be done. And how do you do good works? You keep commandments. Change of company. If you say you're a disciple, you must change company. Let me give you an example, straight and direct. Paul was a Pharisee, right? After he got converted, did he go to a Pharisee wood? Did he meet Pharisee again? Was he in their companion? What did he do? He joined the church with all the benefits of being a Pharisee. You know, Pharisees are higher than Sadducees. Yes. At least they believe in resurrection. And resurrection is the foundation of your faith. Anybody that doesn't believe in resurrection is not following Jesus. You can't follow Jesus without what? Believing in resurrection. So you must change your company. Conversion requires transformation, including relationship. Bad company corrupts your good character. 1 Corinthians 15:3. There was a conscious separation from former ungodly association. You know, Paul was a Pharisee. When God encountered him, he changed his company. And he began to what? Join himself to the church. Even when they didn't even want to accept him, he was stubborn. I must join you people. So Paul that wrote majority of the New Testament. If you understand that principle, how much must we? So the truth is that a disciple changes what? His company. You can't keep company with people that don't believe in your hope. And don't what? Share in your what? In the doctrine that you believe in. No matter the gain that you get there, you what? You trash it. God is able to abound towards you in all blessing if you do that. The understanding, calling, and ministry assignments. Every believer had a role in the work of ministry. Ephesians 4, 1, 11 to 12 talked about that. You know, there were different functions, you know, such as helps, administration, intercession, leadership. Romans 12, 6 to 8 talked about it. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 talked about it. Disciples understood their calling and served faithfully. Now, where God found to flame, you know, what he has deposited to you in a disciple community, discipleship community. Faithfulness extends beyond church activities into daily life. Household responsibility, work and businesses, you know, are also part of faithfulness. You know, Colossians 3, 23 talked about this, you know, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. Now, what we don't understand is this, that the chores you do in the house are actually salvation packages. Your murmuring, your grumbling, your dissatisfaction, your offense will disappear when you know that you're serving the Lord. We love roasters, right? And we want to do our own part of the roaster. Now, when you're serving the Lord, you can't serve with roaster. That's the truth. If you are still serving with roaster, your work with the Lord is still limited. Because you are serving with roaster because as unto men. But when you are serving without roaster, you are serving as what? Unto the Lord. He that knoweth what is right and does not do it, what does the scripture say? So you come into the kitchen, the place are dirty. You know what to do. Sister Bola that ought to wash is still on the Tomeland Bridge. We'll wait for her to come. Are you serving the Lord? No, you're not serving the Lord. So if God wants to actually check whether you are faithful, He's going to check you when it's not your own time to do that function. They will not mark you when it's your time. Because when you're able to do it when it's not your time to do it, it shows that God has deposited something in you. You are telling heaven, I have been built up. You are telling heaven, you have altered my person. You are telling heaven, you have abandoned towards me graciously. You don't yet have a thing,
when it's commandment that is still driving you. Commandments is meant to prep your appetite. It's like saying they are giving you a first course to prepare you for the real meal. So commandment is actually to keep you in the way. Commandment is, you don't want to do it, but because you have an higher authority that have commanded you, you want to do it. So it's actually compulsion. You don't start the law with compulsion. They started with that with you, so you will be prepped up to be able to serve him. So a day will come, he said, you are my master. I will serve you. So the truth is basically that if you are serving unto men, even serve in your discipleship group, come and read spiritual book. You know the way we do now? Come and review Bible. Matthew chapter 6 verse 2. And this is what I learned from it. Ask yourself, when you read that scripture, did you read intentionally for your benefit? What did Lord speak to you about it? What was your engagement? Because the intention of those scriptural reading, Bible reading, spiritual book reading, is to change you. But you don't just come that, oh, I'm reviewing today. You know, come on, no. Ask yourself, okay, I've read Matthew chapter 1. What did I get from it? What did Lord speak to me? Actually, in your review, that should be the most paramount. That's fellowship. Every other thing you bring to that review is what? It's just nothing. What really, 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 God has breathed upon you. Yeah, you speak about other things, but that breath that comes to you, what? Will buttress everything you're talking about. You also run through the spiritual book. This one, like this one. No, you're just keeping time. I just obeying from external. God wants inward obedience. So when you see the Lord as the one that said, read Bible, Lord as the one that said, basically, read spiritual book. When you are reading it, you read it unto the Lord. And you come and review as unto the Lord. So winning and making disciples. The peak of discipleship is so winning. You know, the Lord himself basically said, go and make disciples. But first, they disciple you and I. You and I have been discipled is because you must also disciple other people. And you can't disciple that you don't win into the Lord. Now, this is how it works. The earlier one I said, the kingdom is actually not the people, not the territory. But the territory and the people are important. Because you can die with your idea. Every idea, the day the Lord told me that, every revelation I give you, Peter, that cannot be torn, that cannot be substantiated. He said, it's not worthy. It's not useless. It's useless to you. The same thing, every innovation, creativity that comes to you. How many has come to you? Ask yourself now. You're walking on the street, one idea hits you, right? Where is it today? That's what revelation is like. No, also, so when we will take you through discipleship school, and at the end of the day, you cannot win so, have you benefited the Lord? No. And that's why we talked about you having ability to communicate your faith. Because your faith becomes the sole driver of why you are living. Imagine Paul in the marketplace. Paul was making tents. In the marketplace, as he was making tents, he was reaching souls. That was what Paul did. Paul was, you know, on the way, he's talking to souls. Paul on the ship, he's talking to souls. That means that Paul has been rightly discipled. The mandate was clear. Make disciples. That's Matthew 28, verse 19. Evangelism, multiplication were normal expression of spiritual maturity. So if he said, I am a mature Christian, or I am being built up, I must be doing so winning. If not, that means that the Lord that you have found has made you more selfish. The truth is that if God is blessing you, you want other people to be blessed. But come, oh, God has helped me. You know, the way we say evangelism is what is disturbing us. We want to say that, have you given your life to Christ? You have to give your life to Christ today. That operating system worked in a generation. But in the generation we're living, it's a conversational life. It's a relational life. It's a friendship life. Somebody said that he went to play football because he wants to win so. Say giving and financial stewardship. We must learn to distribute to the needs of his saints. The early church practiced generous giving. They supported ministry and leaders. Tithe, offering, and contribution were expression of worship and partnership. As a disciple, communicating your good to order is a normal life. The scripture we read earlier on, he that will keep his life will do what?
Lose it.
Now it's a paradox. You'll be asking, now, which life am I keeping? So when you keep your 100 naira, you can lose your life. Why? Because in giving, in this to the needs of the saints, God has hid life in there. Kingdom message is thick. He said, if you keep your life, you will lose it. Now, you are still walking on the air. You are still breathing. Even you are still making more money. But the truth is that when it comes, what? Do good to what? All men. Especially what? Those of the household of faith. Now, when those opportunities come, heaven is saying basically that I've hid life for you there. That every time you turn your eye away from it, you are losing life. That's what it means. Meeting the needs of the brethren. Believers were attentive to the needs within the body. They ensure no one lacks. The church functions as a supportive spiritual family. Take, for example, in a disciple community, you might be the only one giving because God has blessed you. Do you know, one day you come to a place that you are tired. Everybody comes there. One thing I've learned about God is everything he teaches you, okay, he demands from you, he will stretch you to a point where basically your salvation actually is. There is a point where your salvation is. And when you get to that place where your salvation is, you want to turn back. It's a common thing in the scripture. Go and check it. When you are reaching that critical point, the normal human strength will want to turn back. But the truth is, God has made that meeting the needs of your brethren as a gate for salvation. So you come home, nobody has cooked. Nobody has money. Boys now, oh yeah, you give money, they went to cook. Another week, the same thing happened. It's you that has money, you give again. Another one, you know, you give again. Then one day you just sit down and say, ah, Kilo Shele, what's happening here? Bola is working. James is working. Every time I don't have money, I don't get it. Now, salvation is near. At that point, that's when everyone has started working on you. Before, you were just still coasting. Now, when you get to that place, know that your salvation is near. And once you just ask God, like Jesus, Father, I know this cup cannot pass me by. See, it sounds funny. That's where it is, oh. The Savior in the New Testament was holistic. It shaped doctrine. It shaped character. Say character. Say it shaped relationship. Relationship. Say it shaped service. Say service. It shaped giving. Say giving. It shaped purpose. Say purpose. It shaped mission. Say mission. Say doctrine. Say character. Say relationship. Say service. Say giving. Say purpose. Say mission. It was not a casual association. Say casual. What's casual association? You are just there. It doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have any direction. It doesn't have a destination. The end of that result, nothing. Let me give you an example. There are some friends you have, basically, that is casual association. There are some friends you have, you know, that what is tied to a purpose. So discipleship is not casual. At the end of the day, God wants you to establish in doctrine. God wants your character altered. God wants you to live within relationship. God wants you to put in service. God wants you to give. God wants you to find purpose. And God wants you in mission. Discipleship in the New Testament is holistic. You must see it from that light. Discipleship remains the kingdom system in raising believers who belong, who want to grow, who want to serve, who want to give, and basically who want to be Christ-like. Lastly, we just run through dynamics of Love Seal Discipleship Group. Say dynamics, dynamics. Of Love Seal Discipleship Group. Our discipleship meetings are designed for spiritual establishment and growth. They create an intentional space to steward conversation in smaller groups, focusing on our manner of life and the word and prayer. As scripture says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that's to Titus, and take it unto thyself and unto the doctrine and continue therein, that's unto Timothy. This gathering help us to guard our conduct, remain grounded in sound teaching. True fellowship and accountability will sharpen one another. Say iron sharpens iron. Is it an easy thing? Have you seen where they use iron to sharpen iron? Have you ever seen light there before? You don't see fire. You have seen sparks. He said the countenance of his friend can be what? Can be brightened. So what our discipleship community are meant to do is to ensure basically that you have a fellowship and you are accountable. You are basically holding fast faithfully the word that you have been taught. You know, and you are taking it to yourself. How do you take it to yourself? You are examining yourself. Take, for example, what I said the other time. Every time you've been giving for food,
Then time came basically that you want to balk. Then as you take it, you know, something is wrong with me. You know, heaven, you need to help me. Or your brother are saying to you, look, oh, you need to change. This thing is not right. You take it to yourself. He that take it, say what? Say, he takes account of his life. The discipleship group cut across cell communities and age group. In other words, your cell community or your discipleship community, you have the strata of what? Everybody there. Why? You're able to draw wisdom from the elderly. And the elderly also can see the zeal and the strength of the young one. So when you look at the elderly one, you know they've covered ground. They are champions of the area. They can encourage you. They can guide you. And you also, there is more elderly in that community. You see the strength, the youthfulness, you understand, of the young one. And everybody will keep moving. Each group has coordinator who leads meeting with pastor overseeing activity. You must submit to what? Instruction. We are not just floating. Even if your cell community leader is younger than you, you must submit to instruction. Say instruction.
Instruction.
So if the younger one said that, well, you are the one leading prayer this morning, you lead prayer. You are serving who? Meetings are interactive and designed for deeper engagement with teachings and doctrine. Say interactive.
Interactive.
You know, you are allowed to ask questions. The disciple asked Jesus Christ many questions. They saw, he said, Lord, at this time, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? That's a question. You know, Jesus, when will this be? He said, this temple is going to come down. This is going to, when shall it be? It's a question. Master, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. That's a question. So it's interactive. You must engage. So if you need clarity, ask, ah, sir, I don't understand. This meek of the word, I don't understand it. Please help me. You'll be helped. Members are encouraged to ask questions for clarity and understanding. You know, assignments into groups are done by church administration. Don't just carry your bag and say, I want to be part of this community. Or disciple community. You are located into a what? Into a community. You are assigned into a group. See, I'm assigned into a group. I'm encouraged to ask questions for clarity. Say, my cell group community as what? Coordinator. Over the oversight of pastors. Say, meetings are interactive. Say, my community cut across all cell communities. Age group in the same locality. And household.
And household.
Say true fellowship, and accountability.
And
I am sharpened.
I am sharpened.
Say, as scripture says,
as
I am taking heed, I'm holding fast.
Holding
you say, discipleship meetings
discipleship are
designed
for
my spiritual establishment and my spiritual growth. That's the intent of Love Save Discipleship Community. Finally, say,
I'm committed
to a lifelong
discipleship.
I'm committed
to a lifelong
discipleship journey
with Jesus,
with my leaders,
with
the local community
where God
has planted me.
Can
you talk to the Lord this morning?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwu Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.